Welcome back, everybody. Episode number 220, Galley, the Good Old Hockey Podcast. Well, I'd say we had a pretty eventful week, especially the last couple of days. I feel like there's been some pretty cool stuff, cool stories to talk about. We'll get into that. Obviously, the big return for Patrick Kane. I'm excited to talk about that. And also some trade deadline talk with that slowly creeping up. I mean, it's faster than we think it's coming. When's the trade deadline? Like March 20-something? Do you know?
In March 8th, dude. It's March next... 8th. I want to say it's next Thursday, okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, shit's creeping up for sure.
Yeah. Next week's pod, I think, will be very... We can try to focus if there's nothing. We can try to do, I don't know, sole trade deadline or whatever's in the news right now. But before that, how was your weekend?
Weekend was good. Friday didn't do too much, but Saturday went bowling. Did pretty good bowling, then went out to downtown Meridian.
Nice.
Went on a hike on Saturday. It was fucking beautiful on Saturday, like so damn sunny. Hope everyone got outside that's in the Boise area, because it snowed today, which was like, what the fuck?
I know, it's coming down pretty hard too.
Yeah, coming went from like 60 degrees and sunny to fucking snowing, but that's the fucking Northwest for ya. And then Sunday I had a hockey game. We needed a win or tie to make it into playoffs in our 5-team league. There's 4 teams that, or I think it's 6-team league, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And we tied. So it was the most celebratory tie I've ever been a part of. But we made the playoffs. It's all that matters. Regular season doesn't matter. I think this year, though, my beer league team has the most ties I've ever heard of any hockey team having. Like, I'm pretty sure we have more ties than losses and wins. I want to say we have like 6 or 7 ties out of like 20 something games played.
Yeah.
So we've tied every single team in the league. I think we've potentially lost every single team besides one team, who's in last place. But we're defending champions. So we're sneaky when it comes into the playoffs. When it's playoff times, we turn it up. So hopefully that's the case, but I'm super bummed because if we do make the finals again, I'm going to be up in Calgary. Going to probably miss the Chipper game, which really fucking sucks, but we'll see. Maybe there might be a flight change in the works on that Sunday if we do make it, but we'll see.
Are you going to go to a Flames game in Calgary, or are you just going
down? Yeah, so March 14th, I'm going up to Calgary with my girlfriend and my little brother and some of his friends, and we're going to go see a Canadiens Flames game. Ooh. Go out, hit the town in Calgary. It's a super fun town to go out in. Great nightlife. Calgary is one of my favorite cities in North America to go to. It's beautiful, clean. My favorite hockey team plays there, which is a little biased, but it's a really, really sick city. And some cities get bad raps being dirty and there's a lot of crime and stuff, but Calgary is like fucking squeaky clean. I don't know if it's too cold for that shit up there or what it is, but super stoked to go up to Calgary. I went up there all the time growing up, playing hockey and seeing Flames games and stuff. So stoked. I haven't been up there since 2020. Last time I was up there, this is a funny story. So last time I was up there was the Battle of Alberta, and it was the game Kachuk, like after the game, he was like, stay off the rails to Zach Cassian. It was like that famous game. One of the best Battle of Alberta's I think of all time, so I'm stoked I got to see that, but I haven't been back since, so excited to go back up to Canada.
Wow, who are they playing that game?
They're playing the Canadians.
Oh, that's right, you said that. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I'll have to give Cody some shit.
Big time.
How was your weekend though?
Pretty good. We went to Payette on Saturday. It was pretty fun. Got tricked into going downtown. And by tricked, I agreed to it, but like beforehand they were just like, oh yeah, let's go to Payette, and then we get there and they've already been drinking and they're like, let's go downtown, and I'm like, fuck you. But overall, I mean, it was fun. Downtown was pretty, wasn't that busy. I mean, Payette was fun because it was nice out.
Shit, that must have been nice on Saturday, man.
Yeah, it was busy too. There was a lot of people there. But other than that, Friday, well, we went to End Zone on Friday. That was fun.
Oh, fuck yeah.
End Zone's always a good time. I'm never not going to have a good time there. And then Sunday, kind of just did a lot of don't know, around the house stuff. A little chill day. And then today, you know, getting ready for this episode. But with that being said, we had a pretty fun week of hockey. First thing, you can kick it off, Gally, with three stars of the week. You kind of made this list, so go ahead and...
Yeah, 100%. So this isn't our three stars of the week. We should start doing probably our own. Yeah. That might be kind of cool. But we're just going off of the NHL's three stars of the week. They announced it this morning, which this is Monday is when this is being filmed. So Kirill Kaprizov rounded out as the first star of the week. Then it was second star was Mitch Marner, and third star was Igor Shesterkin. So yeah, just to start off with Kirill Kaprizov, first of all, he got 6 goals and 6 assists in 4 games. Like that's yeah. crazy. That's 3 points per game for you know, all 3 of those or all 4 of those games. And you know, looking at the standings, the Minnesota Wild, they're not out of the playoff race, so it's going to be kind of interesting what they do. One at the trade deadline, if they're going to try to acquire anyone. But I mean, you want your best players firing when it comes to the, you know, comes close to the playoffs. And I think that's a really good sign for the Minnesota Wild. And, you know, when you got a goalie like Marc-Andre Fleury and some very talented players, I mean, low key, like no one has talked about them this year. So they've kind of stayed under the radar. And a lot of times I feel like in the NHL, that's good. Because you don't got the spotlight on you. And especially Kirill Kaprizov, I feel like he's not the biggest personality, but holy shit, he's a really good hockey player. I mean, I want to say he's a point per game since he's been in the NHL. I'd say he's probably top 5 Russian in the league. I'd probably say, you know, it's Kucherov, obviously, number one. I mean, you can't give disrespect to Ovechkin. He's just been so good all his career. So he's probably up there too. But then, you know, I'd probably say he's 3. I mean, Kaprizov's pretty damn good. Just looking at the standings right now. Looks like, the Wild are 4 points out of the second wild card spot. They're 28, 24, and 6. So, I mean, it's definitely still a possibility. And I mean, the wild card spots are going to be very interesting in the West. I mean, there's not that many points between, you know, 3 or 4 teams outside of the second wild card spot. But I don't know. You got anything to add on Kaprizov?
Yeah. I mean, Kaprizov, I feel like like you said, with the Wild, he's been pretty quiet in terms of in the news. But man, 6 goals, 6 assists, which also reminds me of someone else who we can get into later. But Austin Matthews freaking hitting 50 goals in 51 goals in 54 games. Crazy. We could talk about that later, but I mean, you hit it on the head there. I'd give him 3 at currently top Russians in the NHL. And I feel like Matvei Michikov has a very similar situation that Kaprizov was in, where, you know, he kind of had to stay in Russia for a bit to finish out his contract and then come out to the States and then he could play. So we'll see if maybe him and Michkov have this, like, we'll see who is the best Russian out of there. But
He's got 297 points in 254 games. So Kaprizov's been lighting up the league since he's been in. I mean, holy shit, 2021, 2022, 108 points is that's pretty savage. So going to be interesting to see what you know, how the Minnesota Wild finish out their season. We can just go on to the second star. Mitch Marner has got 1 goal and 9 assists through 4 games played this past week. I think a big part of that probably assisting Matthews' goals.
Yeah, I was gonna somewhat say,
yeah. And I think last week was when that 10-7 game happened. That high ass scoring game, so he probably racked up some points there. But Mitch Marner, you're just consistent. Yeah. He's good every year. Leafs are on a heater right now. You know, I think they might have actually lost last night, but I mean, last time I checked, they were on a 7 game win streak.
Good for them. I mean, they've had this core of these 3 players. And they just haven't been able to get anything done. We'll see in the playoffs. I don't know. I don't believe in the Leafs. I know you don't either. I believe in Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews and everyone else that's on that team, but I don't know what it is. I truly think they are cursed. And it's hard to say that they're not. I mean, especially recently, they have a younger group of players that I think can pan out, but it's good to see Mitch Marner, you know, being talked about because he is a good player. I think he's a great player, obviously, yeah, with 10 points in a week. I mean, that's pretty much what McDavid had last week. He had 10 assists, got player of the week last week, or three star of the week. But yeah.
Yeah, no, Mitch Marner is super good. I know there's been actually some talks here and there. I've seen some mock trades with him leaving Toronto, but if I was Toronto, I'd keep him for his whole career. I mean, he's from the greater Toronto area, and I just feel like Mitch Marner is a solid player to have on your team, both just personality wise, leadership, and his play. I mean, he's a hell of a playmaker. He can score goals, so well deserved there. But I believe he's having a pretty damn good season as well. Probably a little overshadowed by Austin Matthews, who's fucking breaking records and shit. But just to go into the third star. So this is the goalie of the hottest team in the NHL right now. They actually did lose last night, so their 10-game streak ended. But it's Igor Shesterkin. He went 3-0 last week. I think he was a big part of that 10-game win streak. And, you know, one thing like that, I know we're going to get into it later, but, you know, the Rangers are looking pretty legit. I'm very excited to see what they do at the trade deadline, because every trade deadline, they're always making big moves. So, I mean, they're going to be definitely a danger coming up. You know, once they make the postseason, it's gonna be interesting, because I feel like last year was a humongous letdown for them. So they're going to come back pretty hungry.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think the Rangers, I don't know. My thing is, so hard to call a team to win the cup at this point, just because the playoffs are just a different animal. But I mean, I feel like people were talking about this with the Knights last year. But it's not guaranteed, I don't think. But I mean, if Igor's on fire in the playoffs, I think, like he was this week, I think it's game over for everyone.
He's arguably the best player in the league, or best goalie in the league. So
I would think so. I mean, maybe Sorokin, but I think they're pretty neck and neck. Do you have anything else you want to say on Igor?
Not really, just looking at his stats. Yeah, holy shit. I mean, last week he let in one goal per game, so three goals total in the whole week. Was sitting around like a 0.975 save percentage for each of those games. So, I mean, you need a goalie to play like that. And when you're playing the Dallas Stars, New Jersey Devils, and Philadelphia Flyers, and those three games, I mean, that's pretty legit. So, I think the New York Rangers are looking pretty nasty, especially with this Matt Rempe.
We'll get into him. Yeah, Matt Rempe. Let's get into him first, since he's up. So in the last like four games, he's had four fights in the last five games played in the NHL. He got a goal the other night, which was awesome. But what I think's interesting about him with everything is I don't feel like, you know, the whole enforcer type of player isn't really a part of the league as much as it used to. I mean, it's still there, obviously, but it seems like every game he's played, he's had to pretty much prove himself. And I think it's because of how much attention he's getting in the media.
That's true.
We're talking about it, which means everyone else is talking about it too. Those fights, he's had some pretty, pretty gnarly fights. Who did he fight against? Was it Columbus?
Nicholas DeLaurier. Nicholas DeLaurier, a little hard name, French name for me. But yeah, I think my question is, like, was that fight of the year?
I think so. I mean, we don't really get a whole lot of, I feel like, I don't know how to say this. Yeah, I think it was Fight of the Year just based off of everything and just like the story behind him. And at that point, that was his, what, fourth fight in the fifth game. And it seemed like every day on my timeline, there was a Matt Remp fight shown up every time I scrolled, at least like every hour or so. But in that fight, I mean, Delorier got, he won the fight technically, if you want to look at it that way. But I don't know if you saw the picture of them both in the box. I would say Matt Remp won that fight, even though, yeah, he got taken down, whatever, but he kicked his ass. And I mean, Delorier's not the biggest guy. He's tall, but Matt Remp also just makes him look like a pipsqueak.
Yeah. Holy shit. 6'8", 240 pounds. That's, yeah, that's a specimen. I mean, that's a specimen in any sport, let alone hockey. I mean, I feel like hockey players are not usually that big. I mean, that's like fucking Chara size. You know, I mean, that's pretty Chara raw.
Chara was an outlier. It's not like the NBA where they're all that height. Like, yeah, he's definitely big dude. I think he has, I want to say, I don't know if this is accurate anymore, but he had like less than a minute of time on ice, but he had like 27 penalty minutes. I'll pull up the graphic. But yeah, he had like, I have it saved on my phone actually. Yeah, he's been, I mean, if you're like a veteran, someone who's known for fighting, and you see this kid, you know, getting all this attention, you're going to want to challenge him. And with Delorier, I know they were talking before the game too, just kind of like in warmups, like they were going to get it on. I can't find that photo, but we'll see. I mean, I think he's definitely a good asset to the Rangers. I mean, it all started with that fight in the, what's called, Stadium Series game that we talked about.
Yeah, dude, I feel like with that specific fight, yeah, I know the Stadium Series game, I mean, that was like his introduction into the league, which is pretty crazy. But I mean, that Delorier fight, I feel like you don't see fights like that in the NHL a lot of the time. I feel like you see that more in like the Coast League and same with the AHL, but just to see that that fight, that sort of caliber of a fight and lengthy fight in the NHL is like, I think that's what gets one, the crowd, fans loving watching the game, you know, both being there, but also on TV. But it just brings a lot of attention to hockey, whether people like it or not and are against fighting or for fighting. I think it is a very unique part of the sport and it needs to stay. Okay. Oh, yeah. For anyone listening that is against fighting, that is that's one of the things that separates hockey than from any other sport. So, I'd say it's the fight of the year, possibly the fight of the past 10 years. I haven't seen a fight that good in a while. No. I mean, they were fucking teeing off on each other. Yeah. I've seen some like knockouts and whatnot, but, for two players to be teeing off on each other and going ham like that, pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, it was cool to see. Let's see. Up next, Showtime. Patrick Kane. What a game! Like, I'm kind of pissed I wasn't able to watch it because I don't have NHL Network. And shame on you, NHL, to not, like, no one has cable anymore. Like, you got this freaking ESPN Plus that we all have to buy to watch the games. And then you're like, oh, let's throw it on NHL Network. Something no one can watch. They did that same thing with the World Juniors. But I saw a lot of all the highlights and stuff like that. To start off, I mean, Chris Chelios, when he was like, I mean, it was Chris Chelios night. They were retiring his number, which is awesome. Great to see. I mean, I know in the past, a lot of Chicago fans have not liked Chelios because of the whole trade thing going to especially rival like Detroit, which was actually kind of funny that he got his jersey retired while they were playing Detroit, the team that he left to that everyone hated. But he was like, Patrick Kane, don't steal my thunder tonight. And boy, did he. Honestly, that gave me just gave me the chills. Like that whole overtime sequence of him doing what he does best. And then, I mean, if I were a Chicago Black, like if Joe Thornton or Patrick Marleau were to do that to the Sharks or Joe Pavelski, dude, I'd be so happy. I wouldn't care that we lost. And it seemed like the arena was pretty loud cheering, which is good to see. I mean, you know, especially he's got a lot of good memories in Chicago, and to have that as your first game back, it's that's special.
Yeah, I thought it was one of the best. Like, I feel like there's been a little bit of talk about this in the NHL this year, but just like tributes and to players coming back. I mean, I remember when like Pierre Engvall played a few seasons for the Leafs and he got a tribute, which was I saw a lot of people clowning on that, whatever about that. I mean, I don't really have a take on that, but I thought Patrick Kane's return was one of the best tributes I've ever seen to a player returning. And holy shit, it was long. Like, they gave him like three go arounds of him skating, putting his stick up. So I thought that was pretty cool. I thought it was pretty cool. DeBrincat like kind of shoved him back out there. And I mean, Patrick Kane's, he's going to go down as probably one of the most legendary Hawks players and sports figures in Chicago.
Best American. I mean, I think he's going to go down as the best American player of all time.
Until Austin Matthews. Until Austin Matthews.
Even then, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I could see that if he's getting these goal records, but I truly think even if Matthews has a great career, and it maybe it's just my bias watching Patrick Kane as a kid growing up. I don't know. Patty Kane was so electric. Sometimes there's film of him playing. Not sometimes. There's film of him playing back in when he first started, back in what, 2008, 2009? Or when did he start playing?
Yeah, I think 2008.
Yeah. There's film of him as a young kid playing in the NHL. And he like has not lost that today. Like, he was miles above everyone at that age, at that time. You know, I think he kind of revolutionized just stick handling in general. I remember as a kid watching his videos, him stick handling through all those pucks with the GoPro on, and I tried to recreate that. I got hands of rock. I got hands of steel. I don't have soft hands like him, but I tried my best to replicate that. And I don't know. He was something else, and still is. I'm not speaking of the past. He clearly showed that.
Yeah, dude. Showtime. I mean, both you and I remember watching him growing up. I'm like, holy fuck, dude. Patrick Kane is so sick. I remember that. I want to say it was around like 2010 and 2015, around that time. He had one season where he fucking scored like over 120 points. It was just the best player in the league that season. But, I mean, he was, I'd probably say, I mean, do you think Patrick Kane was the biggest part of the cup runs for Chicago?
I mean, that team was so stacked just with talent and good like players, just like Duncan Keith, Brent Seabrook, Jonathan
Taves.
Like Patrick Sharp. Marian Hossa.
Marian Hossa.
There's so many names on that team that it's tough to give it all to one player. I mean, I think definitely he's the biggest name, especially when they beat Philadelphia in that overtime. Like, that overtime goal still gives me chills too. Just that last minute, like, where'd the puck go? And it's just Patrick Kane being a fucking wizard.
Yeah.
And somehow able to score like that. But I truly think he was miles above everyone. And Austin Matthews is good, but we're in a different age of hockey. And I don't know. It's too hard to compare eras. I hate doing it.
Because
it is tough. But my one factor, it's with what I say with Gretzky and kind of the same with Kane, is just their level of skill above everyone else. Same with Sidney Crosby and Ovechkin.
Yeah.
But
dude, as a 35-year-old too, I mean, he's won on an 8-game point streak. He's had 12 points in those 8 games, which is pretty savage for a 35-year-old. So I mean, I feel like he's getting older, but damn, dude, he doesn't look like he's changed too much, and he's had some injury struggles over the past couple of years. So I think that's affected him a little bit, but he's back. But not only that, I mean the Red Wings are pretty hot right now. They have a 5-game win streak. they're in a playoff spot. I want to say their first wild card right now in the West. Yeah. I mean, my question is, like, are the Red Wings legit? Or are they a contender? Because, you know, they have a decently good team, but I don't know. What's your take on that?
Honestly, like, just with the story that's all around them, and I don't know, they've had some trouble here and there. I know Dylan Larkin last year wasn't sure if he was going to stay or not. Obviously, they got him re-signed, which is awesome. To have your captain like that who wanted to play with you. And then getting to Brinkett, and then Patrick Kane too. Like, out of the East, they're one of my favorites, just personally on a bias level.
Yeah.
That I want them to win. I don't know that their goaltending can hold up with the East and just how talented it is. But I mean, they're winning right now, so it's hard to say. What do you think?
I don't think they're a contender necessarily unless they have a really strong end of the year. I just feel like the one thing they've been struggling with is goaltending. So, I mean, we could potentially see them in the market for a goaltender come trade deadline, which we'll get into. But, I mean, I just feel like the East is so fucking stacked. It's going to be hard for them to win against other teams, but they are looking good right now. So, yeah. I mean, they're definitely going to make the playoffs, but I don't see them going too far. There's too many powerhouses in the East that are going to knock them out, that have just a little bit better all around teams. I mean, Steve Yzerman's put together a pretty good team for this year, coming off of Detroit's past few years, which haven't been as well. Yeah. So I feel like they're going to be dangerous for the next couple of years. Especially if they do keep Kane.
Yeah.
But yeah, this year, I mean, they've just been a little inconsistent. But like I said, if they do finish off the year strong, I think they're kind of a dark horse.
Yeah, no, they for sure are. And man, like, I mean, I'm so excited for playoffs again. Yeah. I said this probably every episode, but like, I don't know. There's something about NHL playoffs and just all the drama leading up to it. It's just like a perfect, I don't know, climax, I guess you could say.
No. 100%. I'm fucking so stoked, and it's like 2 months away.
Yeah, no, it's getting close. I was thinking about that like a couple minutes ago. I was just like, holy shit, like it's March, which means in a month from now we're like a week away from playoffs. So I'm excited we have a podcast to talk about this shit with, and everything like that. But let's get into trade deadline.
Yeah,
March 8th, which if you're listening to this when this comes out, which is what, the 28th? We're pretty much a week and a half right now until that trade deadline. Break it down for us with the Flames, just to what you're seeing.
Definitely. I mean, I know there's been a lot of talk about the Flames. I think if any team, I'd probably say the Flames, possibly the Penguins too, have a lot of talk surrounding them in terms of selling teams. But
yeah.
I think the three biggest teams that are going to be selling are the Calgary Flames, Pittsburgh Penguins, and New York Islanders. Out of those three, I mean, we can just start off with the Flames. I know I've talked about this the past couple podcasts. They do have expiring contracts of two top four defensemen. I know for sure Hanifin's not going to return. I don't think Chris Tanev is either, just because the direction of what the team's going for. I think they're kind of trying to accelerate their rebuild. Two really talented defensemen. Tanev's a little bit more defensive, where Hanifin's kind of a two-way defender. And then also Jacob Markstrom's been thrown around the name. He was reportedly going to go to New Jersey, but the big thing that held New Jersey in that deal up was supposedly they were trying to get Calgary to retain salary, which it's kind of crazy that's what it came down to, is retaining a salary off of a player that has two more years left on his contract. Yeah. You'd think, you know, those GMs would have been able to get something done or compromise with something, but it's crazy that's the reason it fell through. But I mean, with Calgary, they're in such an interesting spot because they do have a lot of older assets which they could move, which are good. I mean, Nazem Kadri is another name I've seen thrown around, and it's same with Blake Coleman. So they could get some pretty good returns for all those players I listed, especially Markstrom out of anyone. But I think, you know, Hanifin, possibly Tanev. Those players are going to get first round picks. And then if you throw Markstrom in there, I mean, Markstrom's going to get a lot. So,
yeah.
I don't know. What's your take on the Flames?
I mean, we kind of talked about this last episode. I feel like the Flames, oh, that was kind of mean, the Lames.
Yeah,
the
gosh, Flames, dude.
Sorry. The Flames do have a lot of, you know, pieces that I think these teams that are making a playoff push could use. And like I said, I mean, trade deadline's the best time that you're going to have, at least that best return you're going to get on these players. And even if these teams, like some of these teams may be okay with taking Hanifin or Tanev for just a year and they get rid of some picks and they're like, we're making a push. We just need that last piece of the puzzle. So it could work out in both teams' favors. And I think, yeah, like you said, just trying to accelerate that rebuild and, you know, it's a long process. And if you don't get started on it, you're just delaying any time on it.
Yeah.
It's just going
to take a little bit. As a Flames fan, diehard, you know, I really want them to move these players. I mean, it sounds bad. I mean, I'd love if they moved these players and still made the playoffs. That'd be nice, but I'm just sick of the Flames being mediocre and kind of sitting in the middle of the table, because if they don't move them, these players are going to walk and for nothing. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what Calgary does. I'm almost positive that they're going to move at least Hanifin, Tanev too. But shit, if they start the fire sale and start throwing Markstrom, Blake Coleman, Nazem Kadri around, oof. I mean, that's like a total roster flip. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the Flames do. But moving on to our next team, we got the Pittsburgh Penguins. They're going to be another seller, in my opinion. I know, like, probably the biggest name in the trade deadline right now is Jake Guentzel. He's been in a lot of news for him getting moved. I think, you know, the biggest thing with the Penguins is they're the oldest team in the league. They have a very slim prospect pool as well. And if they don't make moves necessarily right now, it could get really ugly in the coming years once Crosby and Malkin depart, and same with Carlson too. I mean, it's crazy they traded for Carlson, and you know, they're kind of failing right now as a team. I mean, I feel like myself included, I had such higher expectations for the Pittsburgh Penguins. So it's going to be, it's going to be interesting what the Pens do. I think Jake Guentzel is going to get moved to where, I don't necessarily know. I feel like something tells me that he could potentially get moved to a team like Vegas or a team like Detroit, possibly even too. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of teams that would love to have Jake Guentzel. He's an excellent player. I know a lot of people have been saying, you know, is he as good without Crosby? Because I know Crosby's been kind of alongside him his whole career. So that's one thing. Like Chris Kunitz was another player like that was always alongside Crosby. I've seen a lot of comparisons to Chris Kunitz. And once he left, you know, he wasn't that good. So, I mean, do you think Jake Guentzel is still going to keep it up outside of being with Crosby?
I mean, I don't think he's... I think he's good enough that he can thrive in other environments. But in terms, I mean, it's hard with this deadline talk. Last year, I felt like there was a lot. You know, like Patrick Kane, Tarasenko, Timo Meier, like it was a pretty big bidding war. This year, I don't know, nothing super crazy. But Jake Guentzel, I think he's the biggest name on here. Markstrom could be valuable assets to people, but that's if they even trade him.
Yeah.
Guentzel
is definitely.
Yeah, for sure. The Penguins just, I mean, I don't know. I love that they wanted Carlson really bad, but I mean, if Carlson's the best player on the Sharks and he's putting that stuff up, those points up, I'm sure he can do that. But in the Penguins team, like I didn't smell a lot of benefits coming from it. And I think the Sharks got a better end of the deal on that, because, I mean, for the Penguins, you just kind of got to try it and be like, you can't say no to Erik Karlsson, but, and they didn't, like, the Sharks totally didn't fleece them or anything. They didn't get, like, a ton out of it, but I felt like it was pretty fair. But I don't know. I mean,
yeah, and I feel like the Pens, yeah, there's something. They're old. Yeah, they're so old. I mean, I feel like I've seen some other names. Lars Eller has been thrown around. Same with Raquel. So,
yeah,
you know, it's going to be, I think they're going to, they're definitely going to move Guentzel. I feel like there's too much talk around it that they wouldn't.
Yeah.
But the Pens are looking like they're going to miss the playoffs. So I'd say, you know, especially like in a stacked conference, I think you gotta start moving some players. It would be I mean, I remember growing up, I loved Crosby. It'd be crazy to see Crosby on another team. I don't think they'll do it, but
no, he's gonna be a Penguin for life, and I respect it. I mean,
yeah,
he's gotten three cups. I mean, you always want more, but it'd be tough. I don't know if I could picture him on another team.
I don't think I could. That's one player I'm like, there's no fucking ways. Like, probably like Ovechkin's up there too. Like, I couldn't see Ovechkin on another team either.
I thought Patrick Kane too, though.
I didn't
see him playing anywhere else, but
that is true. Yeah,
those two for sure. Like, I mean, I think those two are way more like, no, like they couldn't play anywhere else type people. But
yeah, going on to the next team though, we'll just finish it out. New York Islanders. And they've been kind of a boring team this year. I know we've talked about them before.
Yeah.
Fall fucking sleep every time I watch them, I swear. But they do have a lot of veterans coming up with expiring contracts. So it's going to be interesting to see how their management takes on this trade deadline. I mean, for example, they got Anders Lee, Kyle Palmieri, Brock Nielsen, Pageau. So, I mean, those are names that, you know, any team could benefit from going into the playoffs. And you know, right now I don't think they're going to make the playoffs necessarily unless Sorokin just somehow fucking stands on his head. But right now I don't slot him in the playoffs. So I think they're going to be a big seller coming up in this trade deadline. And you know, they could get some, like I said, those are some pretty good names thrown around. So they could get pretty good returns for them, but I just feel like this is the time, like they're not necessarily like leaning too hard to a massive rebuild, but I feel like if they could use this trade deadline, they can be a pretty solid team next year.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you know, my stance on the Oilers are very, very boring, but
it worked last year. Islanders. Wait, you said Oilers.
Oh, sorry. Islanders, my God. Islanders, very boring team. But, I mean, it worked for them last year, that style of play. And I would hate to be a player on that team, feeling the wrath of Patrick Waugh as your head coach, especially if they're seventh in the Metro right now. I would be shaking in my boots. I don't know. I mean, it's with those veteran players, it's like, a team could use them, but what are you really going to get out of it? Like, maybe fourth, fifth round pick, which could be useful.
But I mean, I think they could get a pretty good haul for at least Anders Lee.
Yeah.
I mean, the other three names, Nelson, Pageau, and Palmieri, I mean, probably not going to get too much for them, but I think you could get some decent prospects for each of those players, maybe package the players together, so it's going to be interesting what the Islanders do, but I feel like they're going to have to make some moves just because I feel like they're in a good spot to be either the same team as they were this year, next year, or they could spice some things up and slot in some new players to the lineup. So it's going to be interesting what the Islanders do.
Yeah. No, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, I like, in terms of New York, I like the Rangers more. So the Islanders, I don't know. They just, like, their team doesn't really stand out to me. I mean, don't get me wrong. They've got great players, but I don't know. It's just Patrick Waugh, I think, is a great hire for a coach, but it's going to take some time for them to, you know, get used to that.
Definitely. And yeah, to just round out this whole trade deadline tech, I know we're going to be talking about it a lot next week, and who knows, maybe some of these players might even be moved, slash these teams will be trading players away. But in my opinion, and you could chime in on this, I mean, or add any other teams, but I think the biggest buyers are going to be Vegas, the Rangers, obviously, we talked about that earlier, the Avalanche, and the Bruins. Some of these teams are kind of pulling some tricky long-term injured reserve tricks where the players come back in the playoffs. So not saying it's wrong, because it's not against the rules, but
yeah,
damn, does it feel like cheating?
Yeah, no, it does. And it's like, I don't know, I know the Knights got away with it last year, but if it's in the rule book and it's allowed, that's just where NHL needs to make a change.
Eichel and Mark Stone are on the LTI right now. So, I mean, I think Vegas, a lot. Yeah, that frees up like fucking almost 20 mil in space.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, Vegas could get really good at the trade deadline. But you know, they're going to have to trade away some assets, to get any big names. So I could see like Vegas picking up some players like from the Islanders, like a Palmieri or, you know, like a Pageau, because I feel like Vegas, they can turn average players into impact players. So
I know, I don't know how, like I don't know how they do it, honestly, but yeah, I think the Knights, I don't think they're going to win the cup this year, if I'm being honest. Okay. But I think they have this, well, I don't know though, if Mark Stone and Jack Eichel come back are back by playoff time.
I know.
They have another name on their team, like a big name. Then I'm going to shoot myself, but I don't know that the Knights are set up for the future. I know that their owner, which is smart, he went for the cup in 6 years and got it. Good on you. But they've traded away some pieces. I mean, they got rid of Nick Suzuki, and I think they got Max Pacioretty in that trade, getting rid of Nick Suzuki.
Which Pacioretty is on the fucking Capitals now, so.
Yeah, like it was a quick, like, rental, but I don't know.
I mean, they did good with it, though. You know?
They did. They won a cup, and that's all you can ask for, but are they going to, like, what is going to a rebuild going to look like for them? Because, I mean, Mark Stone is older. Jack Eichel's still, he's in his prime right now.
Yeah.
He always gets freaking hurt, but he's a great player.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see them if they ever do rebuild. Because I feel like they're a team that they're trying to skip the rebuild, and it's been successful for them.
It has.
So it's going to be interesting coming around. I hate to say it, and this might make you mad, they remind me of the Tampa Bay Lightning when they their second season, when they had a bunch of players on the injured reserve. So it is going to be interesting to see what Vegas does at the deadline. But I mean, going off these other teams, I know we talked about the Rangers already. They're going to have to ball out a little bit. They always do.
Yep.
We'll see though. I feel like they have a pretty good roster right now, so it might be kind of stupid to move any players.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Avalanche, they're kind of a team that, I wouldn't say they've flown on the radar. They've been good all season. But they also have Landeskog on the injury reserve, so that frees up some cap space for them. I've also seen Gensel slotted in going to the Avs. That would be
good.
Fucked, man. Yeah. Like, the Avs would be a big threat if they get Gensel.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Avs, I mean, they've already won a cup, and I think last year what hurt them was injuries and just players not being completely ready. But this year, man, I mean, shit. They're one of my favorites in the West, I think, for the cup. I know Vancouver's doing good still. Edmonton's Edmonton. But, I mean, it's hard to bet against the Avalanche. And if they're able to, again, like, leverage that LTIR rule. Like, if it's allowed, like, what are you going to do? I can't get too mad about it because it's allowed at the end of the day. But I don't know.
We'll see. I feel like we got to go. We got to do a deep dive into how the NHL could fix that. I think that would be a good thing for the off season and just to round out too with this conversation. I know we haven't talked about it too much, but the Boston Bruins, they have two elite goaltenders.
They do.
I feel like they're going to move one of them at the trade deadline. I've heard Swayman's name a lot. And I think the Bruins could, they could benefit a lot offensively from this. And I mean, there's a lot of teams that need goalies right now, so they could get a pretty big haul for Swayman. I don't know if they trade Ullmark. I know Swayman does kind of have the age on Ullmark, but I think the Bruins are definitely going to be another team. And just some honorable mentions, I think the Dallas Stars are also going to be pretty active as well. And then probably the Tampa Bay Lightning, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of just have to. Like, it's just a competitive thing. Like, you can't, you don't want your rival to get this player and then it's going to screw, like, like, I think, I don't think Florida's really going to be buying much. They have a pretty solid team. But, like, you wouldn't want, as Boston, you wouldn't want Florida to go out and get someone big. And really Florida, too. Like, you don't want them to go out and get these offensive players or whatever that's going to help them beat you. So it just gets competitive and you're like, these teams want to buy players when maybe they shouldn't.
Yeah, I feel like it's a double-edged sword, though. I feel like with a trade deadline, like, you can fucking lose some very valuable assets for a rental. You can. So, I've seen some examples of that happening in the past and bites the team in the ass a few years down the road. It's going to be like you said, I don't think it's as flashy of a trade deadline as some previous years have been, but I do think that some teams are going to... who knows? I mean, it could get pretty flashy next week, but I do think some teams are going to be moving some key players and acquiring some key players. So, I'm stoked for next Friday, man.
Yeah, no, me too. Maybe on Saturday we could do like a quick live stream in the morning or something, just kind of recapping. If there's anything, like, if it's pretty boring, I wouldn't say it's worth, but if there's something big, some big name that gets traded, I think it's worth us.
Yeah,
hopping on a Saturday and just chit-chatting, or even if it's pretty short, but just reacting to it. But that wraps up episode number 20. We are now week 20 into the NHL, which is crazy. I mean, shit, this season, it's been crazy the first half. I feel like the news and drama hasn't been totally crazy.
Yeah,
after the All-Star break,
it's definitely slowed down.
But I mean, now we get freaking NHL playoffs, so it doesn't even matter. Now we just get good hockey and seeing these teams round out. But if anyone listening, if you guys like have anything that you guys want us to touch on, send us an email. We do have an email. It's goodoldhockeypodcast1@gmail.com. You can email us. It's goodoldhockeypodcast1@gmail.com. Any questions you have for us, anything you want us to touch on, or throw it in the comments too, if that's easier.
DM us, DM my personal account if you want to, anything. If you guys got any suggestions, criticism, tell me that I'm a fucking dumbass with some of my takes. I know I've seen some of those things, and it's great. I love it. I love the engagement and, hey, we're getting better at this each episode. So, I appreciate any sort of feedback, even if it's harsh. Oh,
yeah. No, exactly. And that's what we're trying to build, is just something, you know, community of fans across Settle Down. Like, it's all sports, but for us specifically, it's, you know, hockey fans of the greatest sport in the world. leave us a comment, any thoughts that you have, DM, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Make sure you're subscribed to us. Make sure you follow us on whatever you're listening to us on. If it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anything. I want to promote the fuck out of this. But another promotion, I think it's not till a couple weeks from now, but we are going to be doing a bracket for March Madness for basketball, college basketball. Diego of Zuch and Wild is going to sponsor it. It's a $50 Amazon gift card for the winner. Free entry, no cost. The only thing is, you have to be following us on at least Instagram to actually get the gift card. If you're just some random, like, you got to show that you're supporting us. But more will come on that in the future. So make sure you follow our Instagram so you can see that, and all the updates on that. So other than that, it's the end of my spiel. Gally, I'll talk to you throughout the week, but we'll be back next week for some good juicy trade deadline talk. So
oh yeah,
see you guys in the next one.
Peace later.